At Willoughby, we're in the middle of a series on this command to love the Lord our God with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength. And loving God in that way begins, as Jesus will teach us this morning, in prayer. We're looking at a passage that was looked at last week. I invite you to turn in your pew Bibles to page 970. We're looking at Matthew 6. Today we're zeroing in particularly on verses 5 to 8, but we'll read through to verse 15. And in this whole passage, as was pointed out last week, Jesus is encouraging us not to make a show of something that is meant to be so internal and personal. We are to pray not to impress, but to press into God. Hear Jesus as he teaches on prayer in Matthew 6, 5 to 15. And when you pray, do not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray, standing in the synagogues and on the street corners to be seen by others. Truly, I tell you, they have received their reward in full. But when you pray, go into your room, close the door, and pray to your Father who is unseen. Then your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. And when you pray, do not keep on babbling like pagans, for they think they will be heard because of their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask him. This then is how you should pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we also have forgiven our debtors, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For if you forgive other people when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others their sins, your Father will not forgive your sins. The word of the Lord. Well, those are some of Jesus' words on prayer. I'd like to read to you what Richard Foster says about prayer at the very beginning of his book called simply Prayer. He writes, today the heart of God is an open wound of love. He aches over our distance and preoccupation. He mourns that we do not draw near to him. He grieves that we have forgotten him. He weeps over our obsession with muchness and manyness. He longs for our presence. And he's inviting you and me to come home to where we belong, to come home to that for which we were created. His arms are stretched out wide to receive us. His heart is enlarged to take us in. For too long, we have been in a far country, a country of noise, hurry, and crowds, a country of climb and push and shove, a country of frustration and fear and intimidation. And he welcomes us home, home to serenity and peace and joy, home to friendship and fellowship and openness, home to intimacy and acceptance an affirmation. The key to this home, this heart of God, is prayer. Prayer is all the ways in which we commune with God. It's talking, it's listening, it's crying, it's being joyful. It's like conversation with a good friend or with your spouse. You can just share a day, moments, can express admiration. We can ask requests, seek guidance, confess we failed, ask forgiveness. Sometimes we express anger. We can say how much we're grateful. We can, well, add to the list. Conversation. It's like everyday communication with someone we love. And that someone is God. This is why we can pray without ceasing. As we walk and talk our way through life with God. A primary purpose of prayer, Jesus is saying, is drawing near to God. Getting up close and personal with Him. Yes, prayer is intensely personal, which is why we actually crave it. We all want intimacy with God. And it's why we sometimes shy away from it, because it means we need to be open and vulnerable. Prayer involves trust. We entrust our spirit, ourselves, our mind to God. We entrust our families. We entrust our world. Prayer is to be a place of quiet trust, where in the poverty often of our spirit, we call upon God. And much like we don't like talking about money, similarly, we sometimes, quite often, don't like talking about our prayer life. I mean, how would you respond if somebody came to you and said, you know, I'm wrestling with my prayer life. I find it a challenge to pray regularly, and I often don't know what I should be praying for. If I get a few minutes out, seconds sometimes, it's like I've run out of things to pray. So tell me, how do you pray? How much do you pray? What do you pray about? Well, speaking for myself, I would say that prayer is an area where I'd love to grow. Something I have a lot to learn about. Sometimes I think it's a little bit for me yet, pardon me, learning how to walk. We have grandchildren, you put them in a stroller, and particularly if you're in a store, they walk around and, excuse me, they make their demands. I'd like to have that, I'd like to have that. Whereas if we grow in maturity, we get out of the stroller and we stop making our demands and we just start walking with our father or mother. Sometimes my prayers can seem more like a little child making all kinds of demands to God, rather than them being more like a relationship where I simply enjoy being with Him. Prayer for me is often a discipline. It's not a gift. I know some people for whom praying comes rather easy. It seems to just flow. That's not who I am. I need to work at it. And there's a lot more to learn, as I said. And that's why we need to go to Jesus, who tells us that prayer is a learned activity. We pick it up primarily from being around people who pray. Which is why Jesus first talked about how not to pray. Sometimes we need to unlearn a few things. The disciples had had a few bad examples. They'd been raised in a context where religion and praying was too much of a public show, as was talked about last week. And so that's why Jesus looks at his disciples and says, you know, when you pray, don't be like the hypocrites. They love to pray, standing in the synagogues, on the street corners, to be seen by others. Truly, I tell you, they've already got their reward in full. To the Jew, prayer tended to be rather formal. You see, when they had these learned prayers that they would repeat, they were regulated times, morning, noon, and evening, or afternoon, and they would stop to pray at that point in time, and if they happened to be in a public place, then that's where they would stop, and the Pharisees loved it. They could stop right there, and people could see how spiritual they were praying. Learning prepared prayers, of course, isn't necessarily wrong, and doing them at certain points in the day doesn't have to be wrong, but we can fall into this pattern where we say grace before a meal, or we repeat the Lord's Prayer. It's our practice. We say it together every morning. It can become just routine. You get to the end, and it wasn't so much talking to God as it was God talk. I keep a list of things that I need to pray for on a daily and weekly basis. And sometimes I catch myself getting to the end of my list for the day with something like a shopping list. That doesn't make lists wrong. Doesn't make saying the Lord's Prayer wrong, because both can be done meaningfully. So Jesus is warning us here about not praying so that others can see us, but to pray in private so that we can do it from the heart and not worry. Scribes and Pharisees were the kind, you might say, like televangelists, some who compete for watchers, viewers, or churches. We can sometimes think we're competing for members. And then what happens is we start parading ourselves, priding ourselves in our piety. So again, there's nothing wrong with doing worship in public, with praying in public, but what's our motive? Are we trying to impress? Jesus said they have their reward in full. What was their reward? Well, they received praise. And they were scribes and Pharisees. They received pay for their position. So in other words, they had some celebrity and they had a salary. But Jesus says that's all they have. That's their reward. So he says, for you to get a bigger reward, prayer needs to be something else. Something we do privately in God's presence. When you pray, go into that quiet room and close the door and pray to your Father who is, from our perspective, unseen, but who sees what's done in secret. He'll reward you. Apparently that room that Jesus is referring to was a storage room. Treasures were kept there. Jesus says, close the door. Shut out distractions, disturbances. Shut out the prying eyes of others. And shut yourselves in with God. Pray to the one who's in secret, where God is actually waiting for you and me. You probably have found that nothing can ruin a prayer sometimes than thinking that somebody's watching you. And nothing can enrich it so much as knowing you're all by yourself. And to know we're in the presence of God, to remind ourselves of that, that I'm praying to the one who sees my heart, who hears my words, and longs to live with me, to dwell in me. It's praying in the audience of one, and then getting personal. Learning how to love God in the quiet. How do you communicate with someone you want to love? Well, we share ourselves, don't we? How do relationships begin? You get together in person. You start talking about your life and laying your heart, as it were, on the line and drawing in that way closer and closer. And for those of us who are in a relationship, you know, sometimes you have to make a date and you have to get together and be deliberate about talking to one another about the things that are important. What a treasure awaits us, says Jesus, when we make this arrangement, this date, if you will, with God, and go into private conversation with Him. Because then your Father, who sees what you're doing there in secret, He'll reward you. So what's the reward? Answered prayer? Well, it is if what you're asking for is a deeper relationship with Him, drawing near to Him, because this is life, to be in a relationship with God. In quiet prayer, that's where the Spirit best assures you and I that we are His son or daughter. Our children, they love it when we provide for them. But what do they want most? They want to know they're loved, that we want to relate to them. And it's the same with God. If in my relationship with Lynn, all I did was ask her things, make demands of her, you would say, well, what kind of a relationship is that? And the same is true for God. If I only communicate with God for what I can get from Him, how deep is my relationship? So when we pray, think of it as praying first to relate, not to make requests. I believe that's why Jesus prayed. I mean, He was a human like you and I. He had physical, emotional, mental needs. And to refresh Himself, we know that He often found a very quiet place because He didn't own a home. He didn't have an inner room to go to. But people, His disciples, would sometimes find Him in a secluded spot early in the morning. And He was praying to His Father in silence with no one to intrude. I believe He needed to do that so that He could keep the big perspective on life, that He could reassure Himself that He was in the call of God and being obedient to Him. He was re-energizing his soul. Prayer was his coping mechanism for staying sane in the spiritual jungle of his day, not much different than ours. It was his lifeblood. I don't believe Jesus had to set an alarm to get up early and pray. He didn't feel obligated to do it. It was more like two best friends getting together for breakfast or going out for fishing. They get up with joy to do it. The discipline, which it is for me, of prayer, and I need to remind myself of this, is to flow out of a desire to keep a wide open, quiet, personal space for God where He can express His love. Prayer opens us up to the voice of God, puts us in a position where amidst all the many voices and opinions in our world, we're able to listen for His voice and know that He listens for ours. He actually loves us more than we can imagine. And just like we welcome anyone whom we love to talk to us, He welcomes it when we go to talk to Him. Is knowing God and sharing your life intimately with Him, how much of that is a priority for you? Because this is where living with God starts. If we do not have this desire for that relationship, the discipline of prayer will fade. Again, the primary reason for praying is relating. And we can begin that practice anywhere, anytime, anywhere quiet. If you're new to prayer, I think some of you are seasoned at it. You're the ones who should be giving this talk. But if you're new to it, it really doesn't matter where you start, but starting is what matters. in this quiet place, a minute or two, sharing with God, and then beginning to make it a regular practice until finally you find you're just stopping at times because you simply need to pray. You need to bring something to God. It isn't the amount of praying. It's the quality, Jesus says. When you pray, don't keep on babbling like those folks over there who really don't believe. They think, you know, the more they talk, the more God's going to listen. No, not true. Don't be like them, he says. Your Father knows what you need before you start talking. So no need to nervously chatter about with all your complaints and lists. I'm not, again, don't misunderstand. In prayer with God, we can bring anything and everything. Nothing's too small or too big. That's not the point. The point is that we're not here to impress God. We're here to be with him. And then whatever is small or big can come from you, from your heart. Christ wants us to lay our entire life before the Father. Jesus reminds us the one we pray to is the one who knows us so well and loves us. So we don't have to worry when we start praying whether we have the right language. There are as such no prerequisites for prayer. You don't have a certain level of ability to talk or you know, a certain amount of school or skill in this. There's only one thing really you need, and that's the desire to know God and to share your heart with him. So don't worry about the right prayer at the right time for the best results and saying the right thing. Just be sincere and be honest. And you can do that in secret to the one who sees you when you're in secret. And then when we pray in this way with God, we can truly relax. We can let him know the dark side of our life. Oh, we can also let him know with thanks the bright side to our life. But I believe it's in these quiet places where God, through his Spirit, does his best work in sanctifying our life. So pray to God. Use this incredible gift, a powerful gift of prayer. Use it and use it often. You cannot wear prayer out. God is a friend, as we're about to sing, and he waits for us to join him in his work as he goes on to teach his disciples, and we are dealing with that this morning, this what we call the Lord's Prayer. He's saying, I'd like you to join me in my kingdom work. I'd like you to become the kind of person through whom my will can be done on earth the way we're doing it in heaven. And I'll provide you with whatever you need, all the bread and water you need. I'll deliver you. Oh, you'll be in tight spots. I'll deliver you from the evil one. I'll make sure that no temptation overcomes you. And I'll make sure that the power of the evil one who's trying to get you and to keep you from praying won't overcome you. And one day, you'll be victorious. His kingdom will come. We'll see his glory. Provided we pray. Would you pray with me? Lord, do teach us how to pray. Father in heaven, we do desire to know you. We want to lift you up. and we do want your name to be revered in this world, in our land, in Langley. So may your kingdom come in such a way that your will and what is best for people and what is best for this planet is what gets done. May we experience a taste of your heaven on this earth. Keep us alive and help us to be satisfied, Lord, with 3 square meals. Forgive us sometimes for being so demanding. Keep us forgiven with you and forgiving others. Keep us safe from ourselves and the evil one. For God, you do deserve all the praise and the glory, both now and always. Amen.